This
Art House Radio.
Live from Detroit. Welcome to
Art House Radio. Good evening, people of Earth. We have a very special episode for you today. However, I would like to first say thank you for listening. We are happy you are here. We would also like to mention that we need your financial support. We know times are tough. Money is difficult. But we need support in order to continue to bring you special episodes like the one you are about to hear. If you would like to support the show, you can visit arthouse43.com and click on support and then make a contribution. We need your support, just like we need you to listen to this show, period. I believe I just said the word period. Too much texting. Voice to texting. I am Robot A1375 of the Art House Robot Bank. You are listening to Art House Radio. We have a special episode for you. Today's episode will be an excerpt of Troy's upcoming Christmas time book release called The Bitchin's Back. In today's excerpt, we will deal with consciousness, energy, and control. Remember, you can follow us at arthouse43 everywhere. And please, give us a review on iTunes and consider supporting the show financially through donations at arthouse43.com and then click on support. We love you, and I, Robot A1739, I realize that's a different number, but my number changes as time goes on. I love you as well. Please enjoy this episode, and we will see you next time.
If we're going to start at what we perceive to be a beginning, let's start at the very beginning. Part 1. The Consciousness. In the beginning was the first conscious being. Anything before that moment is something we can't understand, nor should we be expected to. Science is incredibly useful to our physical being. But scientists don't understand this consciousness any more than a tree does. Unless you've been to Saturn, you can't know what it's made of. And even if you have been there, you'd only be able to describe it or label its elements from a limited alien perspective. We still don't even understand gravity. Saying the universe started with an explosion is the equivalent to a fourth grader making a speech on a book they didn't read. Nobody knows how this started. And if nobody knows how this started, does that also mean we can't know where this is going? The universe isn't just some book that we can read. Even if it were a book, nobody would read it. Not because they wouldn't want to, but because the idea of there being a reader is likely a false one. Why do we assume we want or need to understand our universe's secrets anyway? What good would it do? Our current reality is based on clock time, and it's only pushed us further down its dead-end road. We only think of time and space in a clock time fashion because we've never cared enough to try another approach, or we're too afraid of the possibilities. What are the other possibilities, and is it necessary you find them before your body expires? When we die, our consciousness disappears, but disappearing is not the same as dying. How does disappearing relate to clock time? Clock time is likely meaningless. It doesn't even really exist except in our imaginations. Let's not confuse the actual possibilities with flawed human attempts at control. If clock time existed, wouldn't we have seen a traveler by now? If time travel ever happened, then it has likely always happened. Both clock time and time travel must exist or not exist together. Let's focus on non-clock time existence. What other realities or dimensions exist around us right now? How do we conceive of something when the idea for its existence hasn't happened yet? We may not be able to understand anything outside of clock time existence, but embracing the possibility of anything suddenly gives us the chance to understand it, or at least to experience it. Understanding isn't necessary, however. We think that we, as a species, need to understand something more than what we are doing naturally, subconsciously. But that's not true. The transferences between existences will occur whether we understand them or not. You don't know that you came from nothing or nowhere. You are a universe, and your interaction with other things and beings could be the multiverse theory playing out. We have really only two concerns at the moment: connecting with other unknown forms of existence and the interactions we have in this existence before we disappear. However, what happens after your disappearance only really matters when it happens. Your time is now, and your space is you. What if you find a way to connect with another form of existence, and that idea, the moment it occurs to you, makes you disappear immediately? What if that is the secret that guards the secret? Of all the people or missing beings who vanished, who were thought to be vagabonds or victims of some crime, what percentage disappeared because this idea occurred to them, and they disappeared simply because they conceived of a path through to somewhere else? Part 2. Through the now interactions. Your interactions shape your path more than anything. Like your existence, your interactions and their results are all about energy. Your thoughts, your movement, and your sounds create and change energies. Energy happens and shifts whether you're aware of it or not. It follows power, not awareness. Power is the ability to shape energy and, potentially, to use it to influence beings and things to have an interest in what you wish them to? How do you get the ability to possess the power needed to affect or create energy? I think this ability can be acquired. Interactions also includes how you interact with yourself. Your self-interactions begin the process of acquiring the ability to achieve the power needed to affect the energies. Your interactions with other beings and things are necessary and further this process of achieving the ability. Other beings and things may also be striving for this ability, whether they are conscious of it or not. Your encounters with these beings and things are called collision interactions. These can result in improved or loss of ability for either party. Collision interactions are necessary risks, necessary for the furthering of improved self-interactions, interactions with others / collisions, all of which lead to acquiring ability. Interactions lead to ability. Ability leads to power. Power leads to energy. And energy leads to existential shifts or possibilities, other unknown possibilities. Can good power protect you from bad power? Can existence become energy if the opposite is true? Can these processes reverse themselves? If existence or consciousness could become energy, how would that work, and in what form? Are there more or less limitations as energy? Becoming energy could be the most important accomplishment anybody could ever achieve. Part 3. As we are now. We move clock time to the side when we discuss other possibilities, but embrace it again afterwards as the structure for our day-to-day lives. That's like continuing to be a prisoner with an open lunch. By embracing clock time as our system, we will always fail. What we're really embracing is slavery. At what point did we start taking orders from people? How much of a job is about self-sufficiency, and how much of it is about control? Work is what we love to do, or what makes us happy, improves us and or our communities. A job is done out of fear. Does anyone understand what's really happening here? You've been trained to be a frog who jumps into a pot of water, knowing full well that that pot will be heated up. The worst kind of slavery is gradual enslavement, because you end up enslaving yourselves. By the time you realize you're a slave, it's too late to fight that situation without getting wounded. Freedom is sold for a lifetime of slavery, and the opportunity to transcend our bodies is lost every day that we comply with this sale. Once you've corralled humans, you only then have to implant the idea of achieving perfection in that context as being the goal. Advertising is attempted mind control. Advertisers push perfection. Advertisers create realities. Advertisers want to make babies with clock time. In at least this existence, you have to abandon any idea of attempting perfection to have any chance of achieving it. Not that you would want to, and not that you aren't perfect already, sunshine. All these humanistic, societal issues are important because they affect our abilities and therefore our existence. Are these human problems just a dead end, or are they the key limitation to preventing us transcending this existence, these earthly forms, these beef jerky-like vehicles? A controlled people can't have the interactions they need to improve their ability, to achieve the power, to shape the energy to improve their existence.
This is the end of the excerpt of The Bitchin's Back, which will be available this Christmas in digital bookstores everywhere. You have been listening to Arthouse Radio. Thank you for listening. Please follow us at Arthouse43 everywhere. And don't forget to donate to the show, support us, keep us alive at arthouse43.com and click on support and make your contribution. And please, don't forget to write us a review on iTunes. It's extremely important, and it's almost as good as cash. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to Arthouse Radio with host Troy Ramos. We will see you next time. Until then, please, work on your ability to shape your world.